True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not only can you listen to this show, but you can watch this show every day on YouTube or on Twitch, and it is presented to you on Twitch by Springer's Jewelers, and they are in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. If you are buying a diamond, don't take it lightly. Springer's Jewelers will take the time to educate you on the right diamond for you, and you will get the best pricing in New England when you visit them in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Red Sox front office report this week brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov, and it is the president of the outfit over there, Sam Kennedy, who joins us this morning. Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Well, getting down to it, 15 left here, and an opportunity, The fate of this team when it comes to the playoffs is in their hands, Sam Kennedy.
It is for sure, and I wanted to just make mention, appreciate you guys recognizing what a somber day it is around here, and obviously after yesterday, even a more somber day. But thinking back, listening to you guys talk about 9/11 and where you were, where we all were. It's just remarkable what's happened over these last 24 years. And for me, I was thinking back, listening to Courtney talk about being in elementary school and Curtis being in college. Greg, we're old, but I've got these vivid memories. That was our first year with the Red Sox, and obviously in April that year, we had Wiggy out, came out from behind that flag on opening day. It was something that we dreamed up from San Diego, actually. We were, Theo Epstein and I were trying to sneak out of the Padres organization and get back home. And when, you know, Mr. Kraft said what he said, we're all Patriots. I remember that, just like Curtis, being out there in California and then having the opportunity to come home to the Red Sox and seeing those guys on the field. That opening day in April was just surreal, being home. And the Patriots really started this whole era. Kraft family did, and it's been remarkable. But we'll never forget those who we lost. We all lost family and friends, and it's just a somber time around here, and really remarkable to think back to all that's happened.
Well, but, I don't remember because I'm old, as you mentioned. But Curtis, Sam, what did Major League Baseball do? Did they postpone games for
a while?
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. We did, and you know, and then we came back with George W. throwing out that perfect pitch, as I recall, and it was unbelievable. There's so many moments. And but being a Boston fan, a New England fan, like, just, it was surreal being at Fenway watching. I mean, I actually have an image of Wiggy and Manny together down by the dugout, and you know, we were all down there watching it. It's just crazy to think about. But seeing, you know, TV Tom Brady, like, it was crazy at Fenway Park, and and Bob Kraft holding the Vince Lombardi Trophy, and it's like, how is this all sort of happening? Baseball shut down for a while and then came back. And I think, you know, sports was the one thing that sort of brought the country back together. And it was a really emotional time.
That was the coolest part. Winning the Super Bowl was cool, but the coming out of Fenway trumped that, because I was such a Manny fan.
Yeah.
I was a Manny, and I was like, I told everybody, I'm throwing to Manny. I was like, searched him out, and it was so cool to be able to come out from behind the flag, and then to, you know, I had never been on the field at Fenway, and then to throw it to the guy that I remember, you know, when I was playing for the Jets and listening to 99, I think Manny was in Cleveland, and listening to it, it was so cool, that moment, to be able to be like, wow, it was like a kid in a candy store.
A texter is suggesting that I missed that part because I had already left the ballpark. But I was there for it. And it was, you're right. It was incredible. And that pitch, I know, Wiggy and I know first pitches and how difficult they could be. Yeah. That ball that George Bush, that was an absolute heater that he threw with I think a bulletproof vest on at Yankee Stadium, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and the story was that the umpire was out there and was actually a Secret Service person, and pretty incredible. But Wiggy, back to the first pitch, you remember the chaos. We had all you guys lined up, and there was like, you know, 30 pitchers and 30 catchers, and it was hilarious. I mean, seeing, you know, Teddy Bruschi and Ty Law, Troy Brown, like all those guys, and just having moved back from California, it was like seeing these guys. I mean, we watched that whole playoff from Pacific Beach Bar and Grill in San Diego, and then all of a sudden we were home at Fenway and seeing our Patriot heroes. It was unbelievable. And I agree with Curtis, the moment when Mr. Kraft said what he said, holding the trophy up after winning, it was like, we are all Patriots. I'll never forget that. Never forget that.
Sam, well, now looking at this current season, you look at the team that you have in front of you. When it comes to pitching, Connelly Early was a surprise for all of us. We were impressed. But when Cora was asked about him, he said that they need to look at making sure that Crochet and Bayo and Giolito are getting their regular rest spots. So figuring out where to fit him in. Would it be beneficial for a guy like Crochet to get extra rest around this time? How do you balance all that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you take a step back, we've got 15 games left, 5-3-game series. The goal is still to win the American League East and to get that bye. I mean, it would be amazing. It's going to be hard, but that has been the goal, and that continues to be the goal. We've got a series left against the Yankees, obviously, this weekend. It's going to be huge, and then we actually go up to Toronto, so we've got a shot here. But giving guys rest is important too. You got to balance it. And Alex, nobody does a better job of managing that workload like Alex Cora. He's done a good job. It's really, really hard as you get into August and September, because you know, if we don't win these games, we're not playing in October. But you've got one eye on the playoffs as well. So it is a balance. But great to have these performances. You know, Conley was extraordinary. All the swing and miss he got, and just being so poised out there. I don't know about you guys, but he looked nervous in the dugout, and then all of a sudden he's up there on the mound, and it's like, whoa, what are we watching here? So it was pretty cool to see, and have his family there was great, and it was good. But it's a grind, and it takes a full complement of arms to get through this point in the season.
Sam, talk to us a little bit about, I mean, this season has shown a lot of mental toughness for this baseball team, the ups, the downs from trading Devers and, you know, hitting a little bit of a slump. And I'm very critical of Cora, and I have to give him a lot of credit to be able to stick in there and also the players and just being able to deal with all the ups and downs and the obstacles to be in a position where you are in. Talk about how mentally tough that the managers, the players, the coaches are when it comes to what you've guys been able to deal with and being in a position that you're in right now.
Well, it's you're right, Wiggy. We've had ups and downs over the course of what has been a fun season. But to be clear, it wasn't so fun back in mid June. We had, you know, coming off of a sweep of the Yankees. We made the deal with the Giants, and it was duck and cover time for us in the front office, and people were not pleased with what we did, and understandably so. Like, we get it, but this, I think, you know, there's been a resilience with this group, which you've seen. Team has stuck together. Huge credit to Craig and Alex and the coaching staff, and obviously the players. So the group, every time we seem to be, you know, hitting some type of a rough patch, we sort of turn around. But the 2 and 3 game losing streaks feel like, you know, 10 days, 12 days. They're hard. And this group has been resilient and has bounced back. Now, look, we're in a position to go after the division, which is exciting. We got to step up starting tomorrow night here at Fenway.
Sam, it seems like Willy Abreu not going to be back for the Yankees series, but hopefully next week. Is that still the plan?
It is, yeah. That's what they're telling us, and it's unfortunate because, as you've noticed the last week or so here, as we've gotten into September, we've really missed that bat in the lineup, and so we're looking forward to getting him back. It just shows you the nature of these injuries. So frustrating. I remember we weren't even thinking that he was necessarily going to go on the IL. And I think, you know, he's a gamer and was trying to get back just too quickly. And it probably set him back, unfortunately. So you got to manage these injuries very, very carefully. We've got the best medical staff in the business, and that's what they're doing. But it is frustrating. And I know he's frustrated. But if we can get him back for the A's series, that'd be huge.
Sam, it's been pretty remarkable from my perspective where you have been able to build for the future while contending, while also getting guys to sign long-term extensions at relatively team-friendly deals. I mean, the Chapman contract was shocking to me, given his season, him signing up here. Does it feel like that this roster is invested and wants to be here for the long term?
It does. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had a player roundtable with, say, 7 or 10 guys, young guys, veteran guys, and a few of us in management and ownership. And the general message from the clubhouse was, guys really love playing in Boston. And I think what's cool is you've got the veteran guys like Alex Bregman and Trevor Story and Aroldis Chapman, mixed in with Garrett Crochet and Roman and guys that are new but immediately get it. And the veteran guys appreciate it. They've been other places and they've seen fan bases unlike Red Sox fan base. And sort of you could literally see them in this session, you know, sharing with guys what it's like in other places and how much better it is here, how much better it is to play in front of packed houses and in a market where people care about baseball as much as anything in their lives. So it's a group that wants to be here. That's a great thing. And our responsibility is to keep the right guys here for the long term. And that starts with players that want to be here. We want guys that want to play in Boston. You know, we started this day talking about opening day 2002. And I think back over the 2.5 decades, and we got to lock down the guys that want to be in Boston and want to be at Fenway, because it's so special for that type of player. That's something that we're focused on.
Speaking of those types of players who want to be here, there was a passing report, and I've been panicked about it since that Alex Bregman has decided to opt out. Can you tell us if that's nonsense? You guys are still talking. You're not getting that feeling from him?
You know, it's interesting. We were all surprised by that report, given we just haven't had discussions with Alex about anything other than the goal at hand right now with what's in front of us these next 15 games. So that'll all take care of itself. He wants to be here. We want him to be here, and I'll leave it at that. But he's such an important part of this season and what we're doing, and all focus right now are on these next 15 games, and fingers toes crossed, October baseball.
All right, Sam Kennedy. Well, you accomplished one goal, and that was getting Heinz ketchup back in the ballpark. If you could go out and get a pennant, we would really appreciate that.
One step at a time, brick by brick over here.
All right, Sam, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Sam Kennedy, president of the Boston Red Sox and the front office report. We are going to get to your Hill Notes coming up right now, Courtney, and what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Red Sox dropped the final with the Athletics 5-4 with an A's walk-off off of Aroldis Chapman. Peyton Tolley only went two innings, giving up two runs on three hits while striking out two in his start. The guys are off tonight before welcoming the Yankees to town tomorrow. And over to the NFL, where
big series.
Massive.
Mm-hmm. Big series.
Yeah, this will be able to create a little separation from the Yankees.
They're half a game back right now on them.
Are they half a game back? Yeah. So
did I mishear you, or did you actually give Alex Cora a little bit of credit?
No, I definitely. I got to give him credit.
Little pivot by you.
Well, I mean, all the stuff that was going on, and he was able to.
That was a great pivot.
Well, he was an all-city hoop star.
Yeah, and he's done a tremendous job the second half of the season,
where
he struggled in years past.
Let's get greedy.
I can tell there's some merch coming, Curtis.
Yeah. We got no merch.
We got update.
Can I get
merch.
That green playoff jersey?
No, it's football season.
Suddenly, Alex Cora is the best manager in baseball, according to Jermaine Wiggins.
Wiggy says, Sam, I don't care what they say about AC. He's my guy.
No, I give a man credit when credit is deserved. So,
I'm just glad you remembered his name.
You wanted him run out of here 2 months ago.
I did.
You're on the Sununu train.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the players have done great. Plus, it's football season, so I wear a lot of Patriots gear now.
Okay.
Not today, though. You're in a Red Sox sweater.
I only represent the four teams.
Yeah,
I don't wear any other jersey. The only other jersey I have is some of my throwback jerseys.
Yeah. Which are cool.
Yeah.
I will say the BC New Balance stuff that we got is so comfortable.
So nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Although they sent me the black pullover in XL. I may need a 2X on that, baby.
Yeah, it is tight-fitting.
It really is. It? Is
yeah,
it?
Oh, it's about a size too small.
Oh, that's reassuring. Okay, yep. So it's a problem with the manufacturer, not my current body.
Entirely New Balance's fault.
Okay, good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Going to any games this weekend?
I'm
going to go Sunday night baseball, Fenway Park.
No, I don't think I'm going to go any because the boys play on Saturday, so I'll be glued to the TV all day Saturday.
Mike Vrabel announced that defensive coordinator Terrell Williams will be taking some time away from the team ahead of the Pats' Week 2 matchup with the Dolphins. Vrabel said that Williams' current situation is not related to the non-disclosed medical situation back in March. When it comes to practice yesterday, some guys didn't participate. Christian Gonzalez, Harold Landry, Morgan Moses, and Keon White. And we've got Thursday Night Football tonight. Commanders at Packers, 8:15 kickoff, and it will be on Prime Video for those looking for the streaming service.
That'll be a good game.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that game. It could be an preview to the NFC Championship game.
Okay.
It could be way the Packers and Commanders been looking. So.
Which way you leaning, Wiggs?
You said it was, where is it, in Washington?
No, it's in Green Bay.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Green Bay. I like the addition of Micah Parsons. Even though he was on a pitch count, he created some havoc. Having him out there defensively, I think, just gives that team a whole nother, gear and just some juice. So I'm going to go Green Bay.
Which way are you going, Sharp?
I would probably agree with Wiggy. I don't love the line. It's 3.5 right now. I'll probably bet on props, but I like Green Bay.
Well, don't miss the Subaru of New England all-wheel drive away event. Wherever life takes you, trust Subaru to get you there safely with symmetrical all-wheel drive. Find yours at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
This is not a nice text on the Subaru of New England text line. I probably shouldn't even read it. 781 text, you see that? Greg, please stop calling Shime a sharp. The only sharp he knows is cheddar cheese.
Hey!
I mean, I do. I am very familiar with a good sharp cheddar.
So after the soccer game, did you think of any delivery or?
No.
How'd you do in the game?
We tied 2-2. It was actually a great game. We were losing 2-1 in the second half. Ended up scoring with like about 2 minutes left in the game to tie it. Got a point against a team not in our conference. So it was very good.
What was the pregame message?
Just get out there, have some fun. First game of the year. Get the basics down. Make sure to pass well. And they did a great job. Kids were great.
Head coach allow you to do anything? Substitutions?
I actually made a big halftime adjustment.
Oh,
cool. One of our players to center back. Really anchored our defense. Really appreciated his effort.
Did you get a red card?
Some people impressed him. Really stepped up and impressed him in the first game.
Really? Yeah, yep. I would say so. Okay. Got a lot of young talent on that team.
There you go, Sean. It's all about your goalkeeper.
Do you actually get paid, or is this a volunteer position?
No, you get paid. It's a job.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Yeah, no, I'm just responding.
And you don't have to worry about the union because it's a private school.
Right.
So
exactly. That's why I stayed away from those.
Your real name's Clarence.
That union drove Wiggy right out of
what?
That. Had nothing to do with the 2-8 record that he had.
I'm sorry, first year, we would have bounced back. Bill wasn't great in his first year in New England.
The first 4 years in Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, so we would have bounced back. But,
see, and Billy O needs to do what I did. I was whispering to the sideline ref the entire game. Ended up getting 2 or 3 calls because of it.
Really?
Billy O's too busy yelling and screaming. You got to be a little kinder. You just whisper. Nice. These sweet nothings right to the referee. They'll give you the calls.
Yeah. What were you looking for? Offside?
No. The opponents. On the opponent's throw-ins, they had a couple guys lifting feet. Not allowed to lift feet on the throw-in.
A yellow card.
Didn't get called 3 times in a row, and so I was like, "Hey, what are we doing?" And then the sideline judge helped me out a few times.
Oh, you got to drag that toe. Yeah. You can't lift that thing up.
That's hey, Greg. We worked on that in my practice.
Do you wear cleats and shin pads while you're coaching?
No, just in practice.
Okay.
When we're participating.
Oh, you don't go all Jim Harbaugh and wear the cleats out there?
No.
All right.
I was in khaki shorts and my Jordans.
Any accidental assistant coach headers because yours is so big?
My head's actually not that big, shockingly enough.
Pretty big.
I mean, it's smaller than yours and Wiggy's. Like, I don't know why. I think I have the fourth largest head here. You, Wiggy, and Curtis have bigger heads than
I got a big head. I ain't got no cap. My head is massive.
What size hat
would you wear if you got a fitted hat, Greg?
I don't think my head is very big. I mean, the rest of me is large, but I feel like my head is perfect size. Smallest head in the region currently is Tom Brady's statue.
That's true.
Yeah, we have discovered
that. It's got the Beetlejuice.
So. All right. Hill Notes are coming up next.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI. You hear that music, you know it's time for Rob Bradford. Baseball Isn't Boring and WEEI.com. I saw there's some new swag from Baseball Isn't Boring. Some new hats there, Keith.
Nice.
They pop.
They come in extra large.
They look real nice. Yeah, you're going to need it for that dome of yours over there. Yeah. Bradfoe brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. McFarlaneEnergy.com. What's up, Bradfoe?
Oh, my goodness. McFarland to you both. It's so good to talk to you. And if you want a hat, just message me and we'll make that happen.
Right, I want a hat. Are you talking to us or are you talking to the listeners out there?
Can this be the message?
We want hats. Yeah, we're telling you right now.
Do I? Yeah. No, you guys have to go through the formal process. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. Apply for a hat.
Yeah, so it is amazing that, you know, going through airports, sick brag, bro. Going through airports, you wear that hat, man. It just sparks up the conversation about the great game of baseball.
Yeah, look.
I do have a question because I just get off the flight late last night. And if you have the middle seat, if you have the middle seat of a long plane ride, who gets the armrest?
I take both. If I'm in the middle
seat
I take
you.
Both.
Yeah, you get those.
Yeah, it's survival. Okay.
You get those because the other guys get their ones, one to the right, one to the left. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Spread your legs as wide as you can and put your both elbows on the armrest.
And if you have your choice, what seat do you go for?
Window. Yeah. I used to be an aisle guy, but then I when people are like, "Oh, I got to go to the bathroom 3 times on a 2-hour flight," you're like, "What?"
I don't mind middle. I don't mind middle.
This explains a lot, by the way.
I like both armrests. Now,
you're middle, but you're not. Let's say you're with two strangers. You're not with
my family.
No.
Oh. Yeah.
Middle with two strangers is an outrageous
thing. Probably more window, but like with my family, I always fly in the middle seat. Doesn't bother
me one
bit.
Middle.
Yeah. Doesn't bother me one bit.
That is a psycho move.
That is the worst. That is maybe the worst take of all time.
All right. Well, you know what, Brad?
Jones' hottest take. Brad, give me the middle seat on a plane.
They can't all be winners. No. All I know, I hope we're not let down by these hats. We've been promised hats before, so I hope we're not. I hope we're not
true.
Let down
you have?
By the hats here.
Not by you.
Not by you, Brad. We've been promised hats before, and we've been let down. Keith has a good conspiracy theory on Chapman. Not even conspiracy theory, but just take on Chapman. Maybe not as hot as the middle seat.
This is good, Brad.
Tell Brad for your take.
Yeah, I didn't want him going into the playoffs with like 100 consecutive scoreless innings.
Oh.
I thought it was good to sort of break this up a little bit.
What is this? This is like the Patriots season, right?
Well, so yes and no. I mean, the Patriots were chasing history. Chapman was just on like an unbelievable heater. He had given up runs earlier in the season, but it was just every time you saw him, they were like, hasn't given up a hit, hasn't given up a run, his ERA is under one. You're like, oh my God. Like, I just had fears of game one of the playoffs. Chapman's in there, and the announcers are going on and on and on about this streak, and then boom, he serves up a homer.
Yeah, I mean, I think that first of all, there has to be a name for this theory, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've heard it before for different things, like you said, the Patriots. But Chapman, the biggest thing isn't, you know, fine if he goes on a run into the playoffs, but I'm with you, kind of. It was going to happen at some point. If it happens in the playoffs, it's the ultimate sad trombone. And you know how I know this, because you go back to last year, thou who shall not be named in the offices of the commissioner, Emmanuel Clase. Emmanuel Clase, I mean, I think he finished third in Cy Young.
He was nasty until he wasn't.
Keith's got the t-shirt jersey.
Not a t-shirt jersey, a real jersey.
Oh, I'm sorry, real jersey.
I got it in Cleveland. I was at a Cleveland game where that was like the pregame like giveaway. It's awesome.
I don't think you're going to have another one of those. Yeah. So I'm just guessing.
Maybe I can return it for like a Jose Ramirez.
But, you know, people forget how unbelievable he was. I think he was like third in Cy Young or something like that. And then he was just awful, awful in the playoffs. So I think what you have to avoid with Chapman, and this is the obvious thing, is that you have to make sure that his stuff is still good. He mentioned after that game in Arizona, oh, my velocity was down. I had to figure out a different way to do it. Well, you got to find a way to get that velocity back. You have to find a way to make sure that he is right. And this goes with Crochet. This goes with all these pitchers. It becomes an area where it's the unknown, it's uncharted territory, really. I mean, we could talk about Crochet. I did an exercise the other day with, you know, comparing him to Zach Gallen on September 8th. They both compared to Zach Gallen.
Yeah.
I love exercise. Yeah. I love innings total exercises. Yeah. 2023, Zach Gallen ended up pitching, I think, 243 innings. And on September 8th in 2023, he had the exact same number, almost the exact same number of pitches in innings that Crochet does now. My point is that if you are going to make a long run, there's a long way to go for all these guys. So you got to make sure they're right.
You ever work with Michael G, the Michael G theory? Is that what we should call it?
Ooh, Michael, no. Well, no, Michael Gee.
Oh, was it Gee?
Jones had a hard time with pronunciations. He was calling.
It's not Don Ace.
No, it's not Don Ace. No. Did you say Don Ace?
Yeah, I said Don Ace. Michael Gee? You ever work with him at the Herald?
Yeah, I remember Michael Gee. Yeah, sure.
We call it his theory. is what we call that.
We don't have to.
The Keefe corollary.
Yeah, Keefe corollary.
To the Michael Gee.
Oh, theory. I do like the Keefe corollary. Yes.
What's the plan with Peyton Tolley? They've started to load up on the fastball. He's gotten hit a little bit in the last couple of outings. Is he ideally for this team this year, not long term? This team this year, number four starter, high leverage bullpen guy. Is he on the playoff roster? What's the fit?
I think he's going to get another chance to start. I think they have. That's the plan going forward. That this was sort of not an aberration, but not what they're going to do. They're going to go forward and they're going to give him a start and they're going to hope that he's good because they need him to start. This is, as we said before, this isn't a luxury item. That Peyton Tolley, they need to find a fourth starter, they need to find a fifth starter, and they need Peyton Tolley to be kind of good because they don't have a lot of other options. Now, Conley Early, great, unbelievable, awesome. But still, it's like we're putting cart before the horse a little bit if you think that he is the no doubt about it guy. With, same thing with Peyton Tolley. We've already seen this, that you're going to have to adjust. The first time out is different than the second time out. That Peyton Tolley thing in Arizona was the ultimate lesson for any young pitcher. Because Arizona, just talking to the Arizona people before the game and then after the game, they're like, we just cranked up the traject machine to 100 miles an hour, and we just sat on his fastball, and once we saw he couldn't throw his curve, then boom, we know we had him. Well, welcome to the major leagues, Peyton Tolley. That's not to say that he can't be good, and that's not to say he can't help even in the postseason, because I still think if he adjusted, if he is able to throw another pitch decently, he can be a very valuable, if nothing else, reliever. But you know, I think that it's to answer your question, there's still some ways to go to figure out who is actually going to contribute when they make the postseason.
Can you clarify something? Is Connelly Early eligible for the playoff roster?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so, too. We got multiple texts and messages saying they're like, oh, he got called up after the fact. So I thought so. So
no, you
got
to be part of the organization.
Okay. Oh, so even Kyle Harrison, not that he would be on the postseason roster, but what did you make of Harrison's Red Sox debut yesterday?
Oh, it's good. I mean, the same thing. It's good. It's just, you know, you can't ignore the fact that, you know, that you get outs. You don't give up hits. You don't give up runs. And he's a guy who – I saw him in person a couple times down in Worcester, and you do notice, like, if fastball does jump, you see what they see in him. He does have major league experience, but I'll say it again. It seems like a short amount of time, these couple of weeks left of the season, but it's a long time in terms of figuring out exactly who is going to be hot, who is not going to be hot, who you're going to be able to rely on, and all of that. It is amazing, though, guys. Not only the Red Sox, how many teams are calling up these young players to say, all right, you know what, you're our savior. The Mets are doing it with three guys in their rotation. One guy that did live that life, if you remember, I know that you guys rode the ride of the 2015 New York Magical Mets, and Steven Matz, he actually did it. He was dropped in the middle of nowhere in September.
Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler.
And they started him? I don't remember that. They started him? Yeah,
he got put in the rotation in early September, made, I think, four starts, and then he started in the NLDS, the NLCS, and the World Series.
How about that?
Yeah, so there you go.
Same track.
Didn't happen.
So, bigger picture, when they're looking, because I feel like Cora yesterday was talking about Harrison very differently than he was talking about Early and Tolley leading into their first outings with the team. Harrison's wasn't a start. Theirs were. So maybe I'm reading too much into that. Big picture, if they were going to power rank those three, like what they believe out of those guys, how would you rank them based on your discussions?
Oh, man. It's a cop-out, but you got to have to get to the end of the year because we saw it with Peyton Tolley. We were screaming and yelling about how this guy was the savior, and then all of a sudden the last two starts, I don't think people are saying that. And conversely, I don't think you should rule him out as being really good in the postseason. So I know that everyone is like riding the Connelly Early bandwagon right now, but I want to see him pitch again. Like I talked to a scout yesterday that said that, you know, that he really has to show that he can pitch inside. All right, well, you know, if he doesn't pitch inside in the next couple of times he pitches, then he's going to get hit like Tolley got hit. But I think in pure stuff, I think you still look at Peyton Tolley, and it's hard to ignore the pure stuff. I just feel like if he can just get that secondary pitch over the plate, then he could go on a pretty good run. So I'll go Tolley, Early, Harrison.
It's been seven games since Roman Anthony went down. The team is 3-4. overall, how do you think the offense is going to be the rest of the way? And when also, I guess, as an addition to that, Willier Abreu, how soon do you think we can see him?
Yeah, I think the Abreu thing's a little concerning, to answer that question first, where he just isn't able to or hasn't been just sprinting full out. Now he's running, and maybe they're slow playing it or whatever, but still, he is – I think I saw today that he had the best defensive rating of any right fielder in baseball. Like, we forget that. We forget how good this guy can be. So I think that the ideal is that you get him back. What do they get? They go to Tampa after this homestand. So maybe by then you get him going into the postseason. You don't want to rush. You don't want to – you guys know this.
Sure.
Tearing a calf muscle is never a good idea, right?
Right.
Coming back. So you don't want to do that. And so if you get him back by then, okay. In the meantime, the Yoshida thing, he's a lefty hitter. Like, people say, well, why do you care so much about Yoshida? Well, he's a lefty hitter. They don't have a lot of lefty hitters. They don't have a lot of – so he has to be pretty good. Romy Gonzalez, you can't have it take a turn for the worse in terms of whatever that – the banged up his knee. So these guys who have been a little bit up and down, you have to get the best of them. I think I said it to you guys before when Alex Bregman came out and just said, oh, we just got to keep doing what we've been doing. No, you got to be a little bit better. Everybody has to be a little bit better across the board. And I don't think they've done that enough during that, certainly in Arizona and certainly yesterday.
September, Red Sox, Yankees, there's always high stakes to it. It's always a big series. What are the stakes this weekend?
I think it's pretty big series because, I mean, that's a stupid statement. Of course, it's a big series. but it's, first of all, it's going to be great. It's nice to have a series like this on the weekend at Fenway Park. Yankees, you know, the Friday night thing is a good dynamic. So it's going to be great. But then the Red Sox have lined up their guys. They know how big a series it is. You know, for me, it's the home field is so huge in the way that the whole playoff system is set up. To get the home field is just everything, really is. It's so key. And they're very fortunate. They won the season series against the Yankees. But I will say this. When they came off the last series of the Yankees, everyone was crapping on the Yankees. Listen, the Yankees are as good as anybody. They are. They have flaws. They're just different flaws, but they're as good as anybody, and they could certainly win this series. So I just think you got to keep marching. And you look at the schedule for both these teams. It's not easy, but it's not that hard either. It's just, I think for the Red Sox, it's pretty simple. You can beat anybody left, and you can go on a run in the postseason. You just, once again, have to get the best version of these guys that you've been relying on who have been playing better than the back of their baseball cards for the majority of the season. And most importantly, you have to get the best versions of Crochet, Giolito, and Bayo.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy. Bradfo, we appreciate the time. We'll put in our formal requests for the Baseball Isn't Boring hats, and we'll talk to you next week.
And by the way, guys, I talked to Boris. I'll be writing that up today about Bregman. So stay tuned. Yeah,
Kennedy had kind of an interesting answer about that this morning when he was asked on Greg's show. He said they were all surprised by the Jeff Passan report that Bregman was going to opt out. So interesting. Okay.
I almost pulled a hamstring. You know how he sits down? It was in Anaheim, and he sits down in that pit behind home plate.
Yeah, and you can see him sometimes with the camera.
So if you're a reporter, you have to literally get on the ground to talk to him. And so I'm in like a catcher stance for a minute. I'm like, this isn't going to work.
No.
And then I go new school, one knee, right?
Nice.
So I'm one knee. And then I basically just sit on the ground.
I would have sat like Tony Pena back there. Right? The leg out. Like, this is what I'm doing.
All right, Bradfo, we'll talk to you next week.
All right,
week.
Guys. See you. Bye.
Good stuff from Bradfo.
Good. I mean, he's putting in the work. I mean, you have to crouch down to talk to somebody. I don't think I would.
Yeah.
They'd be like, hey, you have an exclusive with like whoever. Like,
it is kind of a power move by Boris.
I got to crouch down like that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I can get back up.
Should we do that? Should we change where we're sitting?
Well, is it Colin Cowherd that has like the chair way up high?
Probably.
He's like on a throne,
it's
and like everybody else is like he's looking
like
down
a craft style throne. Yeah, maybe. That sounds
like,
right.
What's the point of this? I'm like, well, I'm very powerful.
It's Jones and Keefe. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We'll go on the clock at high noon, tell you how the Patriots are going to get their first win. We'll reset some thoughts on Drake May as well. Stay tuned.
This is Jones and Keefe on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock every Thursday at high noon. We go on the clock.
Woo!
We'll give you in just 60 seconds how the Patriots will get their first win against Miami on Sunday. So stay tuned for it with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. I was listening to Sam Kennedy this morning on the Greg Hill Show. It's available on the Odyssey app if you don't have it.
Sick brag, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Get it on your phone. It's free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. But it was interesting to hear, and Greg's show did some of this morning, and then they did more of it with Kennedy. It was interesting to hear the reflection from his perspective on where he was on 9/11 and sort of the recollections of that. And, you know, we did some of this last year, Keith, when we were on, just where we were and our, you know, recollections of that day, which is a dark, dark day and a difficult day. And, you know, I thought it was just kind of interesting to hear Wiggy's perspective and Sam Kennedy's perspective on where they were at from that standpoint.
Oh, definitely. And I think with, you know, Wiggy being on the Patriots and in the season, and it was an off day because it was a Tuesday, but then just sort of like what the next days were like for him and the team, and then the moment with Andruzzi running through playing the Jets, like that whole thing definitely stands out as a memory in the aftermath of everything that occurred on September 11th. And, you know, you always remember where you were and like that moment in time, like you'll never forget that. But then to hear from other people at all different ages, like that was interesting too about their show is Greg was on the air. Greg was on WAF.
That's wild.
It stayed on the air all day talking about it. And it's really strange to go back. Some of this is on YouTube. If you go back to some of these live shows, like there's like a Regis and Kathy Lee where it's happening in real time in New York.
In New York, correct.
And they don't really know what's going on because you didn't at first. You certainly didn't.
Well, Wiggy said this. If you're young, and right, Courtney and Shine were younger.
That's
so
what I'm saying. Like, so
they
were in fourth grade. You, me, and Curtis were in high school.
Yeah.
Lainey was probably college, right?
Freshman
in college.
Yeah. And I remember you talking about, like, you were listening to Stern. Like, Stern was another one that was live.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
when we
yeah.
talked about this last year, Billy, I remember you saying that. And yeah, I found out in school. Like through word of mouth is how you found out about it. And so there weren't phones. We were watching some news coverage.
It was also wild to hear Curtis said their physics teacher held class.
So
we immediately canceled school for the day.
His class walked out. I think I said this last year. My Spanish teacher, we had class. She shut the TVs off. And we had class.
You said adios.
Then after that, we got sent home like midway through the day. But yeah,
bizarre.
We went to that class and we're like, "Hey, Senora, put it on the screen."
Yeah.
And she's like, "No, you'll catch up on this. Like, let's do class." So we did class. Which
That's
is crazy
so
in
weird.
Retrospect.
Although,
yeah.
Pre-brag, going to a prep school, you have kids from like all over the world at your school. You have kids that are from New York City. You have kids that are from D.C. So it was like everybody trying to get in contact with their family. Like, it was chaos. And just sort of like what the next day was like, too, is another thing.
Did you guys have school the next day? We definitely did. Did you guys?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Billy, you were at BHCC. You were at Bunker Hill?
I was.
Did they have classes the next day? They did. Okay.
We probably did because it happened early in the day, I guess on Tuesday. So that closed everything down. I think we went back, and that was also, you know, fall sports. So it was like, all right, football practice is canceled. And then, but like, I think the next day we kind of did go back to it, but it all felt very strange. And like, I think everybody remembers that day, but also trying to think about like the differences, you know, we were just talking about like the airport with Bradford, like the airport's one thing just like still stands out to you. Cause like we're of a generation where we actually remember where if you were meeting somebody at the airport, you could like run up to the gate.
Oh,
you could basically board the plane with somebody and be like, all right, I'll see you later. And then now it's like, everything is so different. Just how you kind of see the world is changed, you know, on that day. But I am always fascinated to hear different people's experiences, especially like there are different parts of the country, different parts of their lives. And I can't even imagine like doing the show like Greg did, or Regis, or Stern, or whoever.
Like you're on the air and the towers collapse.
We were talking
about this briefly with Greg. You know, and I'm sure he's talked about it on the air before, but we were just talking about it a little bit with him this morning. But it's like we're on the air. We don't really know what happened. Like the first tower gets hit, and you're like, well, that was whatever, a small plane, or it's an accident, or you don't know what it is.
But then I remember gathering in like a room and like watching TV of it. But even the people, like the news stations, were like trying to fill in the clues. So even when you're watching that, let alone having to relay something that somebody else isn't very clear of what's happening, but trying to do it in real time. And Greg mentioned they had no commercials. So usually, like, it's something like that. It'd be during the commercials where you try to read stuff or listen to stuff and be like, all right, I can report this back, but you're just trying to do it all on the fly.
I can't remember if we talked about this last year, Keith, but the closest thing that I would imagine both of our radio careers to that.
Yeah, we were working together.
Would be the marathon bombing.
Yeah.
And like that whole week, and just that was very different radio in this city. Like we weren't doing as much sports talk. There might have been the Bruins played a game in there.
Yeah, that was, but even that was like a story through the prism
of, you know, sports are back and, you know, the anthem and everything else. But
then
like
the
that,
Ortiz moment at Fenway, like all that stuff.
But that was all later on in the year. That week, right? When was that? That was after.
Because I think one of the days we might have been preempted by like news radio, and then the rest of it like we did.
No, when they found him in the book, we were WBZ most of that day and filling in. But imagine doing that nonstop, commercial free all day like Greg did. Like that is just was the right decision.
Yeah, it was.
But it's just that's not something you show up for work expecting to do. No. And that is I didn't realize that from Greg until I heard that this morning. And so listening to him and listening to Wiggy and listening to Sam Kennedy today, if you missed any of it, I do think it's worth a re-listen there on the Odyssey app. It'll be 25 years coming up a year from today, 24 years since 9/11. So just some recollections there. I know we talked about it last year. It's worth hitting on every single year for sure. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback here coming up. On Jones and Keefe, we'll also go on the clock at high noon. How do the Patriots get their first win? We'll tell you in 60 seconds, coming up next.
1-2 to Rob, the pitch is drilled high and deep and to left field. Goodbye! A mammoth home run. 3-run shot. Sox are all over Springs in the Athletics. Early throws and a swing and a miss. He got him. 95 miles an hour, 11 strikeouts. Mom is high-fiving everybody in the crowd. Dad sort of looks stoic, and they're two down in the fifth.
This is absurd.
The pitch. Swinging a chopper on the right side. Murphy off the mound, gloves. He flips to first. In time. Ball game over. It's a shutout for the Red Sox. Connelly early in his major league debut gets the win with 11 strikeouts. The Red Sox have won this series in Sacramento. And you can't take your eyes off his mom.
I gotta tell you, Will's got to be careful with these bombs.
The moms!
It is the mom talk in these games. My goodness. 11 strikeouts, like Will.
I'll tell you what, though.
A little less focus on the moms.
Not to make it about us, but now that we're in our 40s, kind of is about the moms.
Oh yeah.
There was a time where we were sort of peers with a lot of the players, and it would be more like, all right, what's the WAG situation? What's the sister situation?
You still seem to keep quite close tabs on the WAG.
I'm aware of who they are, but I'm not a pervert. I'm not a Bill Belichick. I'm not like, hey, look at this 20-year-old.
I understand,
like, I'm a grown
difference.
Man. Yeah, I have kids, Jones. Yeah. So now it is more about the moms. I noticed that on the last few years watching like the NBA and like NFL draft. Because normally when you were like in your 20s, you're like looking at, you're like side eye on the girlfriend. Now it's like, look at the mom over there. Mom's doing pretty good.
That's you and Will.
Yeah. No, yeah. I know. That's what I'm saying. I agree with Will. Yeah. Me and Will, Spider-Man meme. Hey, looking at the mom.
He did bring up the dad in there too. So he's now observing the whole family.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
I'm into that.
Connelly early, though.
This guy's a stud.
And I'll be honest, I didn't make it super far into this start. Red Sox scored a bunch of runs. I watched his first inning. I pretty much tapped out after that.
Yeah.
So I was surprised to see 11 Ks. Struck out the side twice in the game last night. Didn't give up a run.
The A's are a bad joke of a team. They play in a minor league park and all that stuff. They don't have a city.
Good lineup.
couple of stud hitters in there. So it's not just like, yeah, oh, maybe trash bag.
Good lineup probably studs. Is too strong, but like.
I mean, Kurtz and Wilson are real good.
They've been awesome. Jacob Wilson and Kurt, they might go 1-2 in Rookie of the Year because Anthony's hurt. They might go 1-2 Rookie of the Year. Yep. Rooker's been there for a while. The Law Dog, like, that's a good lineup. There's some good pieces in there.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. So like a 5 innings, 11 Ks against that lineup, like, that's a hell of a debut.
So he, Keith, joined Steven Strasburg, Matt Harvey, and Freddie Peralta as the only pitchers since 2000 to strike out 11 in their debut.
Oh, those all went different directions.
The Dark Knight, Strasburg, and then Peralta's having a good year in Milwaukee. He's been kind of all over the place in his career. He also tied
That's pretty amazing.
He also tied the Red Sox record, which was set by Don Ace.
Don Ace!
In a complete game back in 77 with 11 Ks.
Don Ace was his name?
Yeah, I have his baseball reference page up.
Wow, that's a good name for a pitcher.
Nickname, piece of.
Watch your profanity.
Well, or he was an ace pitcher.
As it should be.
He was a one-time All-Star in 1986 with the Orioles.
Okay.
Early, 86 or the early, Orioles random, early random ball player.
Just burned a random
player. Toss him out. That's
Don Ace.
Well, it's going to be another A today. But, yeah, Connelly early. So now, don't we have the same question we had before when we saw Magnum PIG?
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Tolley, we're all fired up about that first start. Second start did not go as well. And you're left wondering, all right, can either of these guys be the number four starter?
Can they be high leverage bullpen arms?
One or both in the bullpen. You know, now looking back, was your guy, Craig Breslow, right not to trade them away? Like, these are all the questions you have now.
I do think they're different because he tried to trade Tolley. And these are all just from Bradfoe. We can ask Bradfoe about it tomorrow. But Bradfoe's like, the Red Sox were including two of their top three prospects for Joe Ryan, and Tolley was one of them. They gave Minnesota the option to take two of the password, Tolley, and Arias, I think, was the other one.
Okay.
Okay, so he was offering Tolley.
Yeah.
They had an opportunity, and Bradfoe said this the other day, maybe yesterday, they had an opportunity to trade Connelly early for Merrill Kelly, who's been good in Texas.
Yeah.
And they chose not to. So that's what Bradfoe has reported. So a little bit different, but those are both guys who potentially could make an impact in the postseason. It looks like they're going to make an impact in the postseason.
And also, I think, you know, I enjoy watching these young guys pitch. I thought last night gave you a little bit more juice. I mean, I didn't stay up for the whole thing, but it's a little bit more excitement than obviously Dustin May, who's on the IL, or when Walker Buehler was here, or clearly a bullpen game, which is just obnoxious. So that's fun. But it doesn't mean, just because they're really good, doesn't mean I didn't want Merrill Kelly and you know, think that Breslow did a bad job at the deadline. Like, he might sort of fumble into this, and these guys might end up being pretty good. But Joe Ryan or Merrill Kelly in the rotation would look a lot better.
I'm being told it's either Ace or Ace is how you print. It's not Don Ace.
Like, oh, they win a lot of Don Ace?
Like the text line says.
A lot of ball knowers.
Veronica Vaughn is one piece of
ace. She is one piece of ace.
My apologies for mispronouncing the name.
Yeah, but this guy, so I think, but I go in kind of somewhat, you got to be cautious because Peyton Tolley was so good from one, and then two, you're like, oh. So like early, awesome. I'd like to see him again, but maybe the league kind of, you know, hits him around the next start. It's possible.
Twitch chat wants to know what nickname are we going to give him?
Who, Connelly Early?
Yeah.
I don't know yet.
I mean, the early bird seems too obvious.
But sometimes, you know, the obvious is the right
answer.
Sometimes
that's what you want.
The early bird.
All right.
All right.
So that was him last night with the 11 Ks. He was great. This is Alex Cora after the game. And it's been, like, remember Roman Anthony's debut?
I do.
And he's out there on a towel taking grounders in the outfield. And a lot of us felt at the time maybe Cora and the coaching staff were showing up player development, right?
Yes.
Like, hey, we're making a big show of this. Let's let everybody see that we got to work with these guys because they're not ready when they get here. That's what we felt at the time. Here's what Cora had to say about Connelly early after the game last night.
You're getting to know all these kids, man. Like, last year everybody was talking about the position players. And if you look this year, how many pitchers have impacted this team? And that's what makes it special, right? Like, everybody was talking about, you know, the number one farm system because of the three players that, you know, have contributed this year. But there's more players down there. And so I tip my hat to the organization, to player development, because they've done an outstanding job producing players. And, you know, when they get here, they're ready to go and they have contributed.
Okay. Yeah, what I hear there. Score one for Breslow is what I hear there.
I guess.
Now, that was not a Breslow pick. Tolley is a Breslow draft pick. I believe Connelly Early, if I'm not mistaken, was a Bloom pick.
Okay.
But I don't want to go too far with this because I think Harrison's going to make his major league debut today after Tolley. He's in Sacramento. You never know with this guy.
Until I actually see him on the mound, I don't know if I believe
it. But he's in Sacramento. He may make his Red Sox debut, not big league debut.
Right.
It seems like
Harrison Hicks, they both suck.
It seems like Breslow, who's brought in to develop some of these guys, is developing them. Whether he drafted them or not, Tolley's his pick, Early's not. It seems like there's something to their player development, their pitching development. But let's see that with Harrison today before we go too far with it.
Yeah, what are your expectations for Harrison?
Not,
if it's Harrison.
Not high.
Same.
No, I think Tolley's starting. Harrison it might be a bulk guy behind him.
Right.
So I'm not high.
I thought the point was to push Tolley today.
That's what I thought.
Has a team...
Apparently they hate Kyle Harrison. Apparently
has a team ever, and I'm sure it has, been shut out for a series? Because that's what's at stake
today. Yankees did it to the Red Sox. Got shut up by like three or four. No, they didn't get to do it to the Red Sox. They got shut like three or four games in a row.
I'm sure it's happened.
No, but it's not often. No way is it often. Yeah. I think the Rockies maybe, I'm sure this year, got shut out in a series.
I would think they've been shut out.
But I mean, that's what we're looking at.
Maybe 7-0,
6-0.
Yeah.
We'll take a 5-0 win and, you know, head back home.
Is anybody else out there? Alex Cora sounds Brez pro. Anybody else turning Brez pro? Anyone?
No, I mean, I think he's good at extending players. He's the chief extension officer.
Maybe he's good at developing some of these pitchers.
Maybe he is.
Yeah.
He's still bad at trade deadlines.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
It's only one,
two.
Portion of the job is what I was going to say.
Two trade deadlines.
It's only one.
0 for 2.
One piece of the job, Keith. That's all that is.
Can be a very important piece.
Well, it can be.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not important. It's just one piece.
All right.
6-1-7.
The Yankees didn't get a shutout for a series, but they did get shut out for 4 games in a row. One against the Red Sox, then 3 straight against the Angels.
Got it.
It's okay. So
must have been a 4-gamer.
Something's on the line.
It was a 4-game series.
Something's on the line.
We'll get to your phone calls coming up at 617-779-7937. A lot of you, again, letting me know. Is Aussie or Ashi?
A ton of people are aware of Tom Ace.
Yeah. Piece of.
I got it.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of energy for the final half hour here on WEEI Afternoons. We will be speaking with the manager of the Boston Red Sox shortly. He is on his way to the ballpark in Sacramento.
Does our manager have it?
I would say so.
Oh, absolutely has it. Especially when he wears his World Series ring. That magnifies the it.
So suck on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Time now for our league leaders and who's circling the drain.
Which one? He's got a couple.
That's true. Well, mm-hmm. Around here, one matters more than the other.
All right.
Presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. It feels like the Red Sox are now becoming the league leaders in late season pitching prospect call-ups that we are seeing yet again. Reportedly, and we'll ask Alex Cora about this, seems like we're going to see Connelly early. We're going to see Kyle Harrison. We already saw Peyton Tolley, because why do they have that need? One would argue, and that one would be Dan Ball. It's because
Craig Breslow's trade deadline work is circling the drain. You didn't get veteran starting pitching help. Well, you did, but it hasn't really been that helpful. Dustin May going on the IL. And therefore, you're calling up all your prospects, and it's been hit or miss, I guess, to this point with Peyton Tolley. Two starts, one great, one not so great. We'll see what his role is moving forward. Now it looks like you're going to have a chance to have Early on the mound. Mm. And then finally, Kyle Harrison, because we've fallen for the banana in the tailpipe before with Kyle Harrison. Multiple weeks in a row, it was reported that he was getting called up and going to be starting for the Red Sox, and it didn't end up happening. But, yeah, there's a need for these young pitchers to be kind of thrown to the fire. Kind of. Speaking of it,
baptized.
These guys are being asked to show they have it in a pennant race, in a race to stay in the playoffs.
Does Crochet have it?
Oh, absolutely.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's got it all over him.
Bayo.
Oh, Bayo feels like he has it, and they thought he had it
a couple of years ago.
Before he proved he had it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, it was late to him.
Right. But what I love about it is that he's kind of, you know, he's gotten messy with some in early in his innings, but he's fighting.
Yes.
He keeps fighting, which builds an armor and builds your character. So that bodes well for him when the games are, you know, more pressurized.
So can I ask a dumb question? Your ace is obviously Garrett Crochet. He's had a great season, great numbers. But he's had a couple hiccups, including four home runs allowed in that game two starts ago now. Has Bayo been more consistent? I feel like Bayo has just become not great, not perfect, but he is like the perfect number two, where you kind of know what you're going to get.
Crochet's been more dominant?
Yes, yeah. But consistency for Bayo is like we know exactly who he is at this point in the season. I feel like he's been their most consistent pitcher in a weird way. I'd have to go back and verify stats. But
the stats, don't let those get in the way of
Here's where Dan Ball's going to Rittany in three,
you know,
two.
The ultimate it on this team is Chapman.
Oh, my God.
Dude's been pitching a no-hitter since July, basically.
Ever since Wong told him to locate his fastball, he's been dominant.
We might have to ask the manager about, like, the hidden value of the Wonger.
And like, the hidden value of locating your fastball. Yeah,
between Chapman and then now what Crochet was talking about with him last night, like, all of a sudden, Wong has value.
I'll tell you where it's hidden from. His stat sheet at times.
Yeah,
took him till July to have an RBI or whatever the hell that number was. Mm-hmm. So his value was not necessarily at the plate. Mm-mm. But I think I know you're supposed to beat the A's, especially when you play them six times in like a two-week span here to help close out the season. But they needed that. They needed to get off the schneid, win a couple games in a row. Things were, you know, we've talked a lot about the failures of past teams, but then, oh my God, you lose Roman Anthony. How are you going to react? He's so important. He's the top of your lineup. And just to get a couple wins, I don't really care who the team is, to get a couple wins when you have Yankees, Blue Jays, and Tigers on the horizon. You got some big boy baseball games on the horizon. Pile up a couple wins against the A's before you get to big baseball games, because these are going to be tough. This is a tough stretch.
This is a sweep the leg.
Or you could just go on a run and win the division.
You could do that, but let's go ahead and start by sweeping the leg. The A's are done. Like you won last night 7-0. You should win tonight's game, and hopefully you win tomorrow. Sweep the leg, come home, take a day's rest, and then a huge series against the Yankees. Win a little juice back in that again now.
You think Red Sox Yankees Friday night Fenway Park? There might be a little buzz in the air.
Oh, no doubt.
You know who'll be at Fenway Park on Friday?
I think the WEI afternoons.
Lady Gaga?
WEI afternoons, 2-6, baby, leading into Friday night Fenway, the most electric experience in Boston sports today.
Wow.
Red Sox, Yankees, battling for the division, the wild card, it's all on the line. We're going to take a quick break here on WEI afternoons. We are awaiting Alex Cora. He's on a bus. He's on his way to the ballpark. When he gets to the ballpark, he'll talk to us next here on WEI afternoons.
Maybe, just maybe, the Red Sox have found their number four starter in Connelly Early. As I said earlier, it's early, Curtis, to say that. But maybe, just maybe. And you know who has called the show? The great Baseball Brett. Brett, good morning. It's been a while.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
What's up?
Well, I figured we got 16 games to go, and it's looking like we got October baseball, so I figured I'd call in and talk some Red Sox with you guys.
Very encouraging. 11 Ks, 5 innings from the guy you brought up. I mean, that's good news.
Yeah, and I chime hit on it earlier and talked about the prospects and the trade deadline. Just understand you can't have both. You can't complain about the Red Sox not being aggressive enough and then talk about them bringing up their young prospects who are contributing, because these are all the prospects that you would have to trade at the trade deadline.
Is it
so
lightning?
If you wanted to make – go ahead, Courtney. What?
I was just going to say, is it lightning in a bottle, though? Is that like first-time luck, yeah, or do you think that this rookie can actually keep it going?
Yeah, he's got good stuff. The Connelly Early kids got good stuff. So does Peyton Tolley. But they're not – they're young. They're just so young. It's kind of like it's not really the way that the guys are developed in the old days. It's kind of a new approach. They're being very aggressive. The Red Sox need to have four starters for the postseason. These guys, I think the Early kid and the Tolley kid, will combine to be their fourth starter. Mm. So they have three established starters that will go 1, 2, 3. And then these two kids, I think, are going to combine to be their fourth starter. If that makes sense, they'll throw, you know, just kind of give them what they have to be the fourth starter. But in the postseason, you just got to get in and kind of throw it all at them and figure it out from there.
Brett, why,
but yeah, I do think it's lightning in a bottle.
Why wasn't Breslow more transparent about this, though, at the deadline? Like, if he had just been like, yeah, we're really confident in our young guys, they're making a lot of progress really fast, that's why we're not going to, you know, sell the house for, you know, your Joe Ryans or even trade this kid for Merrill Kelly. We like where we're at with those younger guys. Why weren't they more transparent about that? It's like, just like, I don't know, let people know that this is the plan.
Yeah, because I don't think you need to. I think the public, you can say that, and 50% of the public is going to agree with you, and 50% of the public is not going to agree with you. So, like, what's the point? Plus, you're putting expectations on the young kids. Let them develop when they develop. If you're going to have that approach, that's fine. I think they thought they'd get more out of Walker Buehler, and I thought they actually think they could get some stuff out of Dustin May, and it just hasn't happened yet. If Walker Buehler pitches decent, they don't do this. They're not forced to do this. They've kind of been forced to do it because of injuries and some poor performance and having to get aggressive with their young kids. It's a good question, Chime. I think if you say that, I think the public perception is, well, Breslow's not being aggressive enough. You know what I mean? Push all your chips in, get it done for Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan's not pitching great right now. His last four starts, he's had four tough starts in a row. You just never know. When you trade for guys, you never know. If they got Dustin May and he pitches three or four great games in a row, you say, wow, Breslow's a genius. But they bring the young kids up, and you maybe you have something, and maybe you can kind of piece it together.
Maybe the upside, Brett, is that they didn't make one of those trades that they were trying to make at the deadline, and guys that they would have slow played because of service time got here ahead of schedule, and now you kind of have the best of both worlds. You have a guy that's under your control for a long period of time, and you see him in the big leagues at a rate that he would not have been there otherwise had they done more at the deadline.
Yeah, it's a great point. And again, the two kids they brought up right now won't affect service time. So you'll have these two pitchers for 6 years, controllable for 6 years after now. And plus, you can kind of showcase them. You can see what you have. If you like what you see, you can kind of build them in for future. If they pop and you think you can get more value out of it, maybe you end up trading one of these kids who pops at the end of the year. Maybe you do trade him for Joe Ryan or someone down the stretch. I think you're right, Curtis. They don't affect service time, but I think they come up, and if they can contribute, then they're good. But I don't know who would have thought the Red Sox have the third best overall record in the American League with 16 games to go. And Greg, if you had said that the Red Sox with 16 games left were going to have the fifth or sixth best record in all of baseball and have the same amount of wins as the Dodgers, what would you say going into the offseason?
Curtis has them winning the World Series, and yeah, he stands by that. So
Shohei has them winning as well, which makes me more confident.
Yeah, his fall guy's rotten in jail, and he's out here just dominating. Yeah. You know, Greg, you get in. This is what the cool part about baseball is. You get into the postseason, and anything can happen. I think with the Yankees coming to town this weekend, I kind of think you're going to start to ramp up the baseball postseason. I think we'll start to get ramped up. The energy, I think, will start to get ramped up a little bit. You hear a lot more going on about, you know, people wanting to go to the ballpark for the Yankees series and kind of getting energized and excited about the end of the year. And after watching Sunday's, you know, performance down on in Foxborough, I thank God for the Red Sox, because I think it's going to be a long football season, and I think the fans have something to be excited about with the baseball program.
Yeah, true. All right. Can somebody explain? There are some in the Twitch chat who get all triggered when Baseball Brett calls the radio show. Like, he's not an insider. He's like anybody else who calls the radio show. What is wrong with these?
He's a fan, and it's not Greg. Not Greg's son.
No. He's a diehard.
No, he's not my son.
No, he's a
he's
diehard.
Like any other listener.
No, I just think they're really mad that you have a friend.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a rough place in there.
It's so bizarre. Like, Butter Guy can't stand him.
Really?
Yeah.
We love Butter Guy
Cam. I don't know if that's if that's the real Butter Guy.
But he has great knowledge about the game of baseball. I don't understand.
I mean, he's a baseball fan. He's like Derek the Steelers fan or Angry Principal Dave or 1940s European soccer star David. I mean, he's a caller to the radio show.
Right,
like,
who just loves the Red Sox.
What is your problem?
How long do you have?
My Lord.
I mean, Greg's picking a fight with Butter. I mean, who saw that coming?
He helps us with those guys that we've never heard about.
I mean, the phone lines are open. You're welcome to call as well.
We still have a milkman's been waiting for 2 hours. The poor stuff spoiled already.
Oh, do you want me to get Brendan from Connecticut?
No, it's fine.
Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How you guys doing?
What's up? Thanks for hanging on. This is Milkman Brendan. With a little bit of inside milk information, yes.
Yeah, you guys get me through my day, man. I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm out of Ellington, where I am a milkman. I'm with the Modern Milkman. We are slowly pushing into Boston. We're having some staffing issues right now. We're trying to open a depot up in North Attleboro, but I know we have a couple routes in Boston.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen. Courtney is all excited about moving to the leafy suburbs because she can get a milkman. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard that or not earlier, but
very excited.
Did
about
you
it.
Hang up on him?
I did, yeah.
Because that's the perfect opportunity.
Right. He's not an expert or anything.
No, no,
like
no.
The man portended himself, just like Brett, portended himself to be an insider and an expert, and he had nothing.
No, but Wiggy's right. There's somebody in our right behind us who's trying to create a new model, which is farm-to-table delivery from...
Wow.
Jackson would have, you know, could have gave him his resume, could have said, hey, where do I go to apply to be a milkman? Because he said they were looking to open up a spot in Attleboro.
Right.
He would be. Would he make a great milkman?
I think so.
Jackson would be a really good milkman.
Great. He would ask to go to the bathroom, though.
Right. Little tip of the white hat, top of the morning, too.
Yes.
Right.
He would have to be
drops the bottles off and breaks them on the front stoop.
He needs to be a bit less shaky, because I do worry he would drop things.
There'd be several things that are causing that. Maybe he could deliver in the afternoon. Might be a better time for him.
Does have the look, though.
I don't think we ordered eggnog.
I don't like eggnog?
I don't like eggnog, but that's not...
You don't?
No.
I don't either.
Why?
I think it's more so the
it's
thought.
It's the name for you.
Yeah.
It's not the taste.
I couldn't even, I can't picture what it tastes like.
Like a vanilla cream.
Right now.
Yeah.
It's the name.
Good.
You're right.
It's like a vanilla cream.
I mean, you know, you don't want to have more than a couple sips.
Right.
I mean, it's very high in caloric and fat content.
A cup of, you know,
but
like a glass of eggnog.
It's probably good for you. Like the legit stuff is good for you.
Yeah.
Like, we got to go back to that in this country. Did you know what Curtis, I learned this yesterday. They're Pringles. Do you like Pringles occasionally?
Who
you love them?
Pringle.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Amen. Yeah. Do you know what percent of Pringles is actual potato?
Oh, I don't.
2%.
Less than one, isn't it?
0%.
Oh, wow.
Zero.
So what is it?
It's all chemicals.
Yeah, they're not allowed to call them potato chips.
Correct. Oof. They changed that finally.
Mm. They think it's some kind of crisp.
I'm going to bring you guys.
They are delicious.
0% potatoes.
Wow.
In Pringles.
Can I bring you guys down chips that are Pringles, but they're actually chips? They're called the Good Chip. I have them all in my car.
Sure.
James enjoys them. I want
the
you guys
good
to
chip,
try.
Where, are they from here? Or are they?
It's. I have no idea where they're made, but they're chips without all the crap.
So Pringles are not potato chips?
No.
Wow.
That is news
They're
to
so
me.
Good, too.
They're so good.
Could
easily
They're
go
the flavor of potato is what they are.
I get the small Pringle cans so I don't feel so bad when I go through it versus
but
the giant.
Why, like when people wonder, like I know we're up against it, but when people wonder why they're getting sick,
yeah,
it's because you've been force fed all this stuff that has zero potatoes in it and told it's a potato chip.
And why'd they put Ordway on the cover of them?
I've been eating Pringles for 40 years.
Yeah. All right. Hill Notes coming up in about 20 minutes. We will be right back.
Red Sox are on Apple TV tonight, which means it's a great place to catch them on WEEI. That's Red right. Sox and Yankees. You got Castig and Pedro in the booth tonight with Fleming and Middlebrooks. And then we got the broadcaster switcheroo.
The swap.
Toss the mics in a bowl.
I like Inge a lot. If you could get Inge, I like him a lot.
They need a guy in a bullpen.
I mean, if you could get Inge, I tell you, I would be interested in Inge.
Toss WFAN swaparoo.
I like it. Toss the mics in a bowl, and who knows whose booth you're going back to. but that'll be in the third inning. The
she owns price. The team.
I know.
Otherwise, she wouldn't be anywhere than 50 miles of the place.
It's our annual WFAN booth swap presented by River Spring Health. Dave Sims is going to pair with Middlebrooks. Fleming will pair with Susan Waldman for a half inning on each station. So don't miss it tonight.
Good stuff.
On WEEI.
Dolly Parton sleep on her back.
Look out, New York. You're about to get pretty saucy tonight. A little risque when Middlebrooks jumps
over
there.
Yeah, they don't know what they're in for.
No, they don't.
They have no idea.
You have the dump button ready.
So we got Red Sox, Yankees, a massive series. We asked this yesterday to Bradford, like, what are the stakes? It's always a big series, Red Sox, Yankees. It's even bigger in September. Teams are basically even in the standings, although the Yankees won last night. Their half game up. Red Sox have dominated the series. What do you expect this weekend, Keith?
Well, I like that they have their pitchers lined up. I like that it's going to be Giolito, it's going to be Bayo, and it's going to be Crochet. We'll see if the Red Sox domination of the Yankees will continue. Like, they have been so good against the Yankees. Now, some of that earlier in the season, you did have Devers bat in there. Some of that, you had Roman Anthony. So you don't have those guys. And so I still have my questions about their offense. Like, you see some of the lineups that they've been putting out post-Roman Anthony, and you're like, well, they really need Willy or Abreu to get back there, because Bregman and Story and Duran could try to carry it. And like, those are the three guys that you really, really got to lean on, but they're going to have to pitch. But the same thing can be said about the Yankee lineup. Like, it's not very deep at all.
No.
And so even when they were like early on in the season, feels like forever ago, but when they were running away with the division, you're like, is this going to be sustainable? It was like Judge and Fried.
Yeah, because
like, that was it.
We were so out on the Yankees in the offseason. We're like, I don't get how this team's so good. And then the Red Sox played them, and you're like, oh, they're not. I mean, they're fine. They're a playoff team in the American League, but the way they started the year, they were playing them in Detroit, were like a cut above everybody in the AL, and they're not that.
But unless you have like a little bit of fear in Stanton, he just hit his 20th home run, and like, he's obviously had a lot of home runs in his career.
And he missed a big chunk of time. So 20 is a good number for the amount of games he's played. Yeah.
I mean, Judge, you're terrified by. Judge is insane, and he's going to be the MVP again. I think Big Dumper, it's not going to happen for him. He had two home runs last night, Judge. He's up to 46. But like, looking at even just yesterday's lineup for the Yankees, it's just Judge. It's just Judge. So even though the Red Sox, you're like, all right, Bregman, Story, Duran, but with their pitchers going, like, I feel like this is a good opportunity to pass by the Yankees, right? Even if you take two out of three, you'll be a half game up on them if you do that. And then staring down the Blue Jays with four series to go. So I'm really hoping and confident that they can take two out of three.
So I don't know. I guess I got to see how it plays out. I mean, they get swept. I'll come in on Monday, and I'll probably be ranting and raving and worried. But I feel like mostly, if you drop two out of three to the Yankees, it's not like, we go. So I do feel like there's more to gain from this series than lose. I don't want to put zero stakes on it. I don't want to, you know, give the Red Sox no downside in the series. You get swept, then look out. But even if you drop two out of three to the Yankees, the way you've dominated them all year, the way I think you're comfortably in a playoff spot, they're four games up on Texas. So I think they're comfortably in a playoff spot with just a couple of weeks to go in the season. I'd love to see them host the wild card round. I'd love to see him make a run at the division. So to me, it's more about that. It's more about the lost opportunity of, you know, really putting yourself in a good position to get Roman Anthony back. Because I don't think Roman Anthony's going to be back for the wild card round. I don't think he's going to be back for the divisional round. You got to do what you can to get to the ALCS. And the best way to do it, catch Toronto, get the bye, try to win three out of five. Do what Atlanta did in 2021. And win without Acuña, who was a future MVP. He got hurt. They won the World Series without him. He got hurt in July. You got to try to do something like that to at least get to a point where Anthony is back. And this series could be
a big vault for that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not worried about how they match up with the Yankees. The Yankees don't scare me. Even if the Yankees took 2 out of 3 this weekend, they don't scare me.
No.
But you need to get back into that race with Toronto, or at least back into that race ahead of the Yankees, to try to lock up home field advantage in that wild card.
Yeah. And, like, to me, the Red Sox have obviously owned the Yankees. They're 8-2 against them so far. But if this ends up being a playoff matchup, you do really want it at home. Like, the Yankees, they need that ballpark, I think, to have a chance. Like, if this series was in Fenway, don't you feel like the Red Sox kind of...
You're talking about specifically against the Yankees?
Yeah.
I mean,
think they'd beat them either way. I would pick them either way.
I'd rather have it at home, obviously, but I wouldn't be afraid of going into the Bronx.
I'm pretty sure both wins came in Yankee Stadium, but
I was just looking that up.
I'm pretty sure they did, and I just think that they play better there, and there's just like always that chance of like them hitting that little minor league home run, and like they need that to win.
The Yankees are 44-31 at home, 37-34 on the road.
Okay. And the Red Sox are a bad road team, too. So just based on that, I just meant more how they match up head-to-head. Red Sox lost there on June 6th. And they lost there on August 24th. So you're right. 2 losses at Yankee Stadium.
So, I mean, I would still pick the Red Sox, but I'd be a lot more confident if the Red Sox were home in that series.
I'm surprised. We got some of this yesterday. We were talking Red Sox and Yankees, and I'm surprised we're getting more of it today. Guys, get ready to have your hearts broken in the last 15 games. Swept by New York, swept by Toronto. Kiss the playoffs goodbye.
Oh, they're making the playoffs. It's a matter of, like, what seed will they be and
so that's what
they
I look think. Like. Yeah, I mean... And maybe we're wrong. Maybe 4 games isn't a lock. We've seen teams collapse in the past. That'd be a massive collapse. So I'm personally not worried about that, but talk to me on Monday if they get swept by New York. I'll probably feel differently.
But what I would say is, I don't know if you noticed, but Seattle and Houston are now tied. So Houston's technically the wild card team based on whatever their tiebreakers are. So the Red Sox, though, with 15 games to go, I would be shocked if they missed the playoffs. However,
they have a 95.2% chance to make the playoffs.
But they could... win the division, or they could be the third wild card. Like, there's a big
change. Oh, they could fall all the way to third wild card for sure. I don't rule that out.
Yeah, they're 2 games up on the AL West team, right? So, like, with 15 to go, you could be the third team, and now you're looking around like, all right, who do you play in the first round? Where if it – I'm just praying now it is Sox-Yankees. One, because I think they can win that series, and then two, because – that'd be the best for everybody. That'd be, give you the most juice right off the rip.
That one game playoff they had in 21 was probably awesome. The best playoff game of the whole playoffs.
Like, selfishly, I kind of would rather Red Sox-Yankees wild card than the Red Sox win the division. I kind of would. Because I also have a little bit of fear about the division, because you can get cold. It happened last year. All these division winners that won 100-something games.
Rust, as he said yesterday.
It really happened. And then you're like, they're waiting around. They're like, oh, they got their pitching lined up. It's like, yeah, but their bats were cold and they got smoked right out of the playoffs.
Yep.
So even for that reason, let alone for the entertainment value, I'm rooting for Sox-Yankees wild card round.
So a lot going on the field this weekend at Fenway Park and in the booth here on WEEI. You can discuss at 617-779-7937. There's also some big picture stuff going on away from Red Sox Yankees this weekend. Big stakes. And again, how important are these games this weekend against the Yankees? You can weigh in. A couple of away from the field this weekend storylines that I just find interesting, bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
One we talked about very late in the show. I just want your thoughts on this again. Bradford, shortly after he was on EEI yesterday.
Yeah.
And he saved it for a tweet. He had more news breaking. We at least teased this with us yesterday. He talked to Scott Boras, but he had more of that today on the website. But he tweeted this out yesterday, shortly after our interview. He says, Craig Breslow will prioritize finding a GM early this coming offseason. He's gone without one for his first 2 years. So to me, that sounds like a search. That doesn't sound like an internal promotion. He's going to hire a GM. A lot of teams have a chief baseball officer or someone of that ilk, a president of baseball operations, and then a GM beneath them. That's not rare. But you're intrigued by that, I know.
I am. I mean, if you can get a trade deadline expert, somebody that only worries about the trade deadline and is good at that, you could combine to be the perfect GM president of baseball operations. Because right now, Breslow's done everything else well. Off-seasons have been good. Extending players that you want has been good. Trade deadlines have been a disaster.
They've been bad.
They've been terrible.
He's good at extending players.
Yeah.
We'll get to one prominent potential player he's going to need to extend coming up here in a moment.
Deadlines have been a little bit. If you need a guy to get you a Dustin May or a James Paxton, he can do it.
He'll do that.
You want a Danny Jansen for a righty stick? He'll get you that guy.
Yeah.
You want Joe Ryan, Steven Matz?
He might not be able to.
Actually, Matz might be the best guy they have.
You want Joe Ryan? He might not be able to close it.
No, you're not getting any of those guys.
So the GM could potentially do that. I think that's a good theory as to who's being brought in. Just handle a week. I'll handle the other 51. You get 1 week. It's trade deadline week. That's your job.
What a combo.
I wonder what it means for the front office report. Like, I wonder if this lets Breslow worm out of some of where he's most awkward, which is interacting with the media.
Well, who's that other guy that used to go on with them? Didn't they have a third guy?
Oh,
that...
yeah. Brian.
I feel like Kennedy never does it anymore. It's only Breslow.
No, Kennedy was on this
Kennedy
week,
but
yesterday.
No, it's like once every month now. Yeah. It should be
Brian O'Halloran?
Like every week.
Sure.
That oh, it was Brian O'Halloran.
They had another guy. Is B-O-H. He not there? What's his job?
I don't know.
What's his role?
Is he still with the team?
Don't know.
I don't know.
I'm saying I don't know. But when it comes to, I wonder if part of that,
you break it down.
Part of that is Breslow's like, well, I'm the chief baseball officer. I don't have to do the media. But they can hire a more media savvy GM. Because let's face it, I think what pisses people off with Breslow a lot is how he speaks and how he interacts and how awkward he is. And I think if you just look at the baseball moves, it's been my case all year with him. I think if you just look at the baseball moves, trade deadline aside, you're right about that, Keith. If you just look at the baseball moves, I think they've mostly been good. Look at the pitchers they're developing.
Yeah.
Not that he drafted every single one of them, but look at the pitchers they're developing. I think you just look at the pure baseball moves. He's got a team in playoff position with 2 weeks to go. And who knows if it was his call or not, but made the decision along in conjunction with John Henry, went along with it with John Henry, getting rid of Rafi Devers. They don't miss him. So I think if you just look at the baseball stuff, he's pretty good. The problem is, the PR gets in the way with him, and that's what people hate about him, and that's what people hated about the last guy in Chaim Bloom. So maybe they can bring in a more media-savvy guy, and maybe that would be a way for Breslow to worm out of things like the front office report, because I don't think he always comes across great there.
I'm looking at RedSox.com, their staff directory.
Brian O'Halloran there.
There's like a million names on here.
Yeah, well, I thought...
There's a million people. But
I think
it
that's
does
part
have,
of why they haven't named a GM yet, because it's like Raquel Ferreira and Brian O'Halloran, or at least it used to be. They had like three or four people who I think they didn't want to give one
Brian O'Halloran is on here, but you can't click on his name. They didn't give him like a fancy bio.
Is that one of the ones Breslow fired after the internal audit?
He's on here, though, still.
Okay, good.
He is the executive vice president of baseball operations.
If you were on WEEI's website, but there was the link to your bio didn't work, how would you feel about that?
Not great.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel about that.
I wouldn't feel great about that either. How come this doesn't go anywhere?
There should be a link to my bio.
It says page missing.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't like the foreshadowing there.
It's got principal owner, it's chairman, president and CEO,
you got the whole chief baseball officer.
That's what I'm saying. I got everybody.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Pedro and Ortiz are special assistants.
Nice.
They made the top tier. Then there's the executive management team where there's over a dozen names. They're all executive vice presidents of something or senior vice presidents of something. There's the senior vice president assistant general manager. There's an executive vice president. There's too few of those, actually.
So now we need a GM.
Yeah, we don't have a real GM.
We need a real GM.
Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
How can you have as many as four assistant GMs?
But no GM.
Who are they assisting?
That's a ridiculous question.
Or is it the smartest question of all time?
I disagree. That is a great question.
Who are you assisting?
Yeah.
The GM.
Each
we
other.
Don't have one.
Well,
you're
assisting
each other?
Yeah. What do you need? You need coffee?
We kind of chase our tails.
No, I meant you need coffee. So
what's the difference between an executive vice president and a senior vice president? I've never really had a real job.
Who's the boss? The executive vice president or the senior vice president?
You're asking guys in the same boat.
Yeah, right. You guys looking around. Anybody else worked at a real job before?
Yeah, we didn't have... We didn't.
I don't know if I know what job title is.
You are our executive producer.
Oh, nice.
So
who's the senior producer?
Billy.
I think that would be me.
Billy is.
Oh, boy. Well, now, I don't know.
Senior. But I mean, that might be senior you guys, just based on like
you guys are all assistant producers.
Yes.
You guys are all assistant producers back there. That's what you are.
Yeah.
No, we didn't have this on the floor at the Landmark Center Best Buy. We didn't have to deal with that when I was trying to sell people DVDs.
No, when I worked in the warehouse, I was cigarette selector rich, is what they called me.
617-779-7937. Speaking of Sam Kennedy, who according to Nick is never on the front office report, he was on yesterday with Greg. And here's what he had to say about the quote-unquote report from Jeff Passan that Alex Bregman intends to opt out.
Speaking of those types of players who want to be here, there was a Passan report, and I've been panicked about it since, that Alex Bregman has decided to opt out. Can you tell us if that's nonsense? You guys are still talking. You're not getting that feeling from him?
You know, it's interesting. We were all surprised by that report, given, you know, we just haven't had discussions with Alex about anything other than the goal at hand right now with what's in front of us these next 15 games. So that'll all take care of itself. He wants to be here. We want him to be here. And I'll leave it at that. But he's such an important part of this season and what we're doing. And all focus right now are on these next 15 games. And fingers, toes crossed, October baseball.
Okay, so
all right.
Bradfo talked to Alex Bregman's agent, Scott Boras. And here's what Boras had to say. He said, quote, "The leadership value to the Red Sox has obviously been huge. Houston knew what that was. The Red Sox, when they got chapter and verse for what that meant to them, they have a more precise nature for what that means with or without the player on the team. I would imagine it definitely is more defined for them." It's a long way of saying and an odd way of saying. They want his leadership. They value his leadership. He had another line that was more buried in the story that I said, oh, maybe there is something to him opting out. Because I saw Passan on Karabas' podcast defending this report, and he's like, yeah, I don't get why people thought that was such a big deal. Like, obviously he's going to opt out. He's having a great season. I'm like,
I don't think it's obviously going to opt out.
I also don't think
he's missed a ton of time, and he's getting $42 million guaranteed for the next 2 years if he just opts in.
I'm a Bregman guy. I championed him all offseason. I think he's a better player than Devers, and I'll stand by all that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call the season he's having great. That would not be my terminology for it.
He's missed a ton of games.
He's missed a ton of games. He's hitting under 280 now with an 836 OPS. None of that's bad. I wouldn't call it great. In September, so far, he's hitting 205. In August, he hit 260 with two home runs. So
yeah, he's going to hit under 20 home runs.
I maintain I don't think it's a slam dunk. He'll definitely do that.
No. He's going to hit under 20 home runs.
He'll definitely hit under 20. Gotcha. I agree with you is how I meant to say that. So Boras had one other line in here where I'm like, this does sound like he's going to opt out.
He gone!
Boras said, quote, "They've got a couple of great players at very discounted prices by signing them young in their careers." And he's talking about Crochet and Anthony. Bradfo lumps in Chapman, too. That's not young in their careers, but those are some extensions they have in place. I think that's Boras' way of saying, look, you guys are getting a deal on a lot of other guys. You're not getting one on this guy.
Yeah.
And he also referenced other players. Bregman was restricted by the qualifying offer in the market this offseason. He referenced other clients of his where he's like, once that qualifying offer is taken away, the market really opens up, implying there will be more bidders on Bregman this time around. So we'll see. I think he'll be here long term either way, but if he opts out, that'll be a scary moment for all of us.
Yeah, no, it will be. But he was available last year for everybody. He got offers from everybody. He chose this one. He had, I'll say, a good season, but I think it's been overblown how good of a season he's had.
Yeah, great's too strong. Good is right.
Yeah, he's obviously very important to the team, and Cora likes him a lot. He's a real leader. All the young guys like him. He's a very valuable piece. There's a lot of intangibles that come with Alex Bregman, but our team's going to be offering him way more than they did last year.
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
Yankees might be.
Boras is trying to hint at it, but Boras obviously has a job to do, so... Yeah. We'll see.
He's not going to get more than 42 average annual.
I don't think so either.
He'll get more years, and then it just becomes, all right, what do you want to do? Do you want to just tack on a $30 million year three? Would that make him happy? Whatever. And I think you can get it done without going crazy.
Me too.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.